Jerry.
Amen. Thank you, Jared. Good morning. It's good to be back here. I do look forward to being back at First Gonzales. As you know, I love your pastor, love your staff, love this church, grateful for your gospel witness, not only in our community, but around the world. And Jim and I have been friends and grateful for his encouragement. He's such a great encouragement. I know you know that. And a blessing. So would you please turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. I'm working through Luke now. Luke chapter 6. I need to qualify this because one more time so you'll know that when I preach through books of the Bible. Now I'm in my preaching through my 26th book of the New Testament. If I've got only one more to go after Luke, and that would be Hebrews. So by the time I'm 96, I think I'll be finished working through the Bible. And my wife says, I'll never live long enough to get all the books of the Bible, but I'm going to die trying. So to understand this also is when you see the topic and you'll see the text, you're going to go, why this passage of all passages? And, well, I'll tell you why. It's because that's where I am. In fact, I didn't finish it last week at the church I was across the river, so I'm just going to finish that up this morning. And it sounds like I'm about to preach up a storm, it sounds like. So, would you please look at Luke chapter 6. Are you there? We're going to begin reading with verse 27. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? You follow on silently as I read aloud. I'm reading from the New American Standard. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other one also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those who from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Join me as we pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. Grateful for the time that we can gather as your people today and sing the songs of our faith. And as I echo the amen of that last song, how sweet it is to hear the saints of God sing the songs of faith. God, I pray that you would quicken our heart and our mind to understand the application of your word to our life, to our relationships, to our witness in this world. Turn our hearts and will be turned. Turn our affections, our attention, our adoration upon you this morning. And that, Lord, you'd be pleased not only with the words of our mouths, but even the meditations of our heart, they would be acceptable in your sight. For this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm reasonably confident that when I begin to read this passage that started out, love your enemies, many of you thought this thought, that's one of my favorite passages. I am so glad he's preaching on that. You know what you thought? Not everybody with a robust amen on that one, okay? This verse, I would say to us, it's always a challenge when you come to this. And the one thing about expository preaching, you can't avoid what's coming. You've got to deal with every passage, every verse, wrestle with it. What's God saying to me? What's God saying to us? What is he saying through us? But let me clarify some things here. When we look at these passages, if we try to do this in the power of the flesh, if we try to do this of our own initiative, we will become nothing more than Pharisees or hypocrites or both. If it is not done by the work of the Spirit in and through our life, all this will just simply be religious talk. Now, this whole passage has a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, and you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do not take your stand in evil. And then a little bit further down, Jesus said, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And this idea or the passage is called the lex talionis, the law of retaliation, or as one writer described, the law of the tooth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The idea behind this was for civil code, civil law. In the Old Testament, when they gave this, it was for Israel to have a governor and a governance over the people so that there would be the right application to punishment for the crime. In other words, let the punishment fit the crime. That it would be proportional in both depth and breadth so that it would discourage criminality. So it would discourage aberrant behavior in a culture. Well, as it is, the rabbis begin to take this and said, well, we can all also use this, not just governmental and civil, but personal. We have justification for retaliation. He hits me, I'm gonna, hello, hit them back. They slap me, I'll slap them back. I have the right to retaliation. Doesn't the Bible say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Well, please understand the context here. It was not, and when Jesus is speaking to the congregation, to the people, the Sermon on the Mount, it was about how our personal witness in the world ought to be. How we respond to an injustice, a wrong, something that's unfair, something that's not right. So please understand this also. This is not a lesson about pacifism or encouraging lawlessness or an advocacy for cowardly behavior, but instead that we would know how to rightly respond in every situation. Rightly respond in discerning and deciding a way that honors God, stops dangerous and wicked activity, discourages evil, and reveals an obedient witness of our walk with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 97:2, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Righteousness has to do with our right relationship with God. Justice, our right relationship with others, how do we balance all that out, not only in from Scripture, but also in our life? Can I say this one more time? This is not a legal document. It is not a civil document that Jesus is speaking of. It is about our personal witness in the world. That we, First Baptist Gonzales, we're to have a witness in this world. We're not just simply to be the building on Burnside. And we're not simply to have church. God has called us as a people, not simply to have church or do church, but be the church. God put us in this community to make a difference. And so by our walk and by our witness, when people see our life, they're going to go, they're not like the world. They're not responding in the same way that others do. And so Jesus said, love your enemies. So can we talk about that for just a few moments? I'll talk to Jared, and I won't be here long. We'll be here by 2:30, and then I should be done. So let's see how far we can go today. Love your enemies. So what is this love? What is this love? Well, it's the word for agape. It's the word that's rooted in selflessness, sacrificial love, servant love. In other words, when the Bible says, and it's command here, it's a plural command. It says, you all must love your enemies. In other words, we love them in a sacrificial way. We love them in a selfless way. We love them in a way in which we serve. So here's the question I want to ask you. I want you to be real honest. Don't have to answer that loud. Do you love everybody? This week, however your week has gone, every situation, whether it be a misunderstanding, whether it be an out-and-out injury or injustice, do you walk away saying, you know, I love those folks? What is our response? Well, so let me ask you a few other questions about love. There are basically seven commands about love in the New Testament. You know what they are? The first one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And these things you shall teach your children when you sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you lay down, and when you rise up. He said, you shall love the Lord, and here's what you must teach Israel, that you love God supremely with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So that first question is, do you love God? I went by entirely too fast. Let me try that again. Do you love God? Yes. Amen. Yes, we do. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then Jesus says, but the second is likened to that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Some may say, you just don't know my neighbor. But Jesus said, he was asked that question, and this one guy in the crowd, this intellectual, says, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus said, I'll answer that question. He said, a certain man went from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. You know the story. He was beaten, abused, and so on. A Levite came by, a priest came by, they ignored him, but then a man came by. He bandaged his wounds, put him up on his donkey, and carried him to town, put him in an inn, said, I'll take care of him, and if he has any expenses, I'll come back and compensate you. And then Jesus said at the very end, and this man was a Samaritan. Jesus says, that's who your neighbor is. Somebody that may not be just like you. Okay, let me move on very quickly. Love God. Love your neighbor. Jesus said, a new command I give unto you, that you love, there you go, your neighbor, but you love one another, just as I have loved you. Fourthly, by this shall we know that all men are my disciples by the way that we love one another. And then John says, and we know that we have come from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love the church. I would say that, should we not love one another in the church? Let me try that one again. Can we not love the church? Amen? Amen. But then Jesus says this. Paul, speaking through Paul, he says, husbands, love your wives. And then Titus 2:4 says this, wives, love your husbands and love your children. So the application is this, we are to love our families. I think it is a fair question to ask. How are we doing loving God? Loving our neighbor, loving one another, loving our friend. Jesus said, no greater love this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Loving our families. But then Jesus comes to this phrase, love your enemy. Please notice, he asks the question, and I think we should ask this question. Well, who are my enemies? So let me ask you the question. Do you have any enemies? Are there any enemies in your life? Now, it doesn't say love the enemy. The enemy is the devil and his minions. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is not what he's saying. He says, but you love your enemies. Is it possible that there were those in that congregation that had enemies? Now, for a Jew had six enemies. Are you aware of that? The first enemy was a Gentile. Anybody that was not a Jew just didn't measure up. They were below them. They were beneath them. And then the second group of people that they hated were the Samaritans. Both racially and historically, they had issues with the Samaritans. Thirdly, the Romans. The Romans were the occupying army. Israel was a vassal state at this point. They were under the authority of the Romans. They resented the Gentiles. They resented the Samaritans. They resented the Romans. They hated them. So there were three classes or races of people that they hated because they weren't Jews. And then there was a group because of disease they hated, and those were the lepers. In fact, when someone contracted leprosy, they avoided them. The family would take them to the edge of town. They would have a funeral and they would dismiss them to a leper colony. They would have nothing to do with them. They avoided lepers and leprosy for obvious reasons. And then there was another group. They were the tax collectors. We don't have any problem with that today. The publicans. Why? Because the publicans were Jews that worked for Rome. In other words, they were considered to be traitors to Israel. And then there was one other group, prostitutes. You remember they were always lumped together, publicans and sinners, tax collectors and prostitutes, because of their moral base lifestyle. And so even in that crowd, there were those that were, because of racial, because of historical, because of sickness, because of things of the past, these type of things, they were considered to be enemies. So may I ask just a personal question that I do not want you to answer out? Are there some situations in your life, people, somebody you work with, a next door neighbor, a former friend, that no longer you love? In fact, it's just the opposite. And I would say, and I would submit that probably a way of defining who may be our enemies, people that are of different values, whose moral behavior is repugnant to us, or someone who has a different belief system, another religion, a religion that is quite different from our faith altogether, and somehow we have now decided that they are our enemies because they believe differently from us. I work around the world. In fact, this morning I was in another worship service at 8:30. I get a text on my international app and just got a message that one of our pastors has been taken. He preached this morning and was taken out and beaten by those who are anti-Christian. And they had to rush him to the hospital. There are those that we consider enemies because of past offenses. Somebody done me wrong. Something in the past, she said, he said, they did this or they did that. And so for past offenses, you've never gotten over it. 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Can that be? Should that be among the people of God? No. But if you have not reconciled rightly, they're in the position of an enemy. Or it may be a current opposition. Somebody that you are in school with, work with, an acquaintance, and yet there is a definite issue in your relationship. Almost that you would see them as your enemy. Now, what is Jesus saying to us? He's saying, why do we love them? Why should we love them? Because it's all about our witness in the world. It's all about us not simply doing church, having church, but as us being the church. We will never reach this world. We will never have a cultural impact unless we be the people of God. Now, I must say this. It is impossible to fulfill this if there are three things that are not real. Number one, in order to even consider obeying this, you must be saved. You have got to be born again. There's got to be a time in your life where you experience the grace of God in your life. For me, that was 1972, March the 31st, 11 o'clock on a Friday night, where I got on my knees, prayed with my dad, prayed the gospel, experienced the peace of God, believed that Jesus died on the cross for me, was buried, raised to life on the third day, trusted Christ. My life was changed. Outwardly, I was about the same, but I was a new guy on the inside. If any man be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There is no power in your life to love as we ought if there has not been the receiving of the love of God in our life by believing the gospel. Secondly, in order to live this out, flesh it out, we must have a surrendered will to the Lordship of Christ. That, in other words, that we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. not filled with our spirit, not filled with our flesh, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Thirdly, we must be saturated with the Word. Because faith cometh by, hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, faith is activated by the Word. In other words, if we're commanded to do something, it should not be because it's a good idea. It's because the Word of God says so. We do it out of obedience to God's Word. Now, so what is the believer's response to the lost in loving our enemy? Well, look, please. He says, Jesus says, you all must love your enemies. First thing to note, love is a choice. Love is a choice of the will. It is not based upon feeling. It's not based upon emotion. In other words, if we love people based upon our feelings, how many people would we really love? We wouldn't even love ourselves a lot of times. But love is a choice of the will. We're able to love not because we will, not because we feel to love, but we will to love by the power of the Spirit of God. About 7 weeks ago, my wife Karen and I celebrated 50 years of marriage. How about that? Praise the Lord. In fact, she's endured much for the sake of the gospel, 50 years. But oftentimes when I'll say this over the years, but in these last few weeks especially, I said, Karen and I have been married 50 years, and we've been married happily 48 years. Now, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Any marriage that goes the distance and goes the depth is a marriage full of forgiveness, full of every morning we choose to love. In the evening, we choose to love. Sometimes we do not feel it, but we know according to God's Word, He says, we are to love one another. We're to love our wives. We're to love our husbands. Choose to love. Love's a choice. Our enemy, we may not like them. We may not feel like it, but we must choose to love. I go into some areas where there are people that are, we would consider to be enemies of our nation and so on. I cannot allow that affect me personally on how I treat others. Amen? There's a danger that I feel like that sometimes we watch the news and because of the violence and because of the other behavior that something wells up within us to almost we have enmity and hate towards others because of it. We say, God, I choose not to hate them. Give me the grace to know how to love them. We love as a choice of the will. Secondly, Jesus said this, interesting words. He said, do good to those who hate you. Now underline the word do good. It's not the agathos word that's used for moral good. In other words, it's good, not evil. It is the word kalon in Greek, which is a superlative. In other words, it's not just good, but excellence with superiority. In other words, when someone hurts, offends, thumps you, maybe that you work with them and your first impulse is, I'm just going to drag my feet. I'm not happy. and I'm going to express it. No, 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 no. Jesus said this. When people hate you, do not allow their attitude toward you to affect the quality of life that you live. Live a life of excellence. The other day I found the book in Psalm, a verse in Psalms that's never been there before until just a few weeks ago. I said, where has this verse been all my life? Let me read it to you. You can write it down, okay? Psalm 65, verse 8 says this, they who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. Well, these signs, you make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. He said there are two signs in all the world, in every culture, that declare the glory of God. It's irrefutable, undeniable, the glorious sunrise, and then the masterful sunset. Now, who all sees the sunrise and the sunset? Believers? Hello, anybody else? Everybody. Those who have mocked his name, those who hate him. But you know what God does? Every morning, even to the unregenerate, even to those who blaspheme, he says, what's this masterpiece? And the sun comes up. Job says he commands the dawn. And in the evening, my father paints another glorious masterpiece in the west. You know, even when we don't love him like we ought, treat others like we should, he still gives us those beautiful signs to declare, that declares his glory and his love. How much more we in this world, can we not give our best? Even in dynamics that are difficult. Just a couple more. Let me put your mind at ease. I'm not going to get through this whole passage. Notice this next statement. Bless those who, what does your Bible say? Bless those that curse you. We love by our words. Most of the time, the idea of blessing here is the speaking of the blessing. So when spoken to in a hostile manner or a spiteful manner, how do we respond? What is the best response? There are three I recommend. The first response is no response. How many times in the life of Jesus did he just not respond? When there was silence, he just didn't give them an answer. When Herod demanded an answer, and when Pilate demanded an answer, and when the Sanhedrin demanded an answer, Jesus was just silent because the truth was so evident. He didn't need to say anything. May I say this to you? You know one of the best responses when somebody curses you, speaks evil to you? Silence. Let me transfer that to modern day language. When somebody sends you a text message and they communicate stuff that offends you, wait before you text back. Hello? Or you get an email. And from time to time, I get fan club mail. And so I will get this, and my first response is, I go, no. I'm getting better at this. I'm not got it all down. But just wait. It's better not to respond, because once you send it out there, it is forever in cyberspace. It'll come back to you. Just don't go there. Now, Elizabeth Elliot, do you know who she is? Elizabeth Elliot, the wife of Jim Elliot, who was martyred for the faith in 1956. She continued to do ministry after him for the rest of her life. And she still has a program on one of the radio stations here in town. My wife listens to, and she quotes her often to me. I don't know why. But one of the statements that she uses, and I love, you may want to write this one down. Are you ready? Never pass up a great opportunity to keep your mouth shut. Would you like me to repeat that? Never pass up a great opportunity to keep your mouth shut. And then I heard this statement last week. You ready? This is good. Silence is gold and duct tape is silver. I think you got it. How do we bless? Sometimes no response is a better response. Secondly, a slow response. No response or slow response. James says it this way, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the angry man does not work the righteousness of God. If we do respond, be slow in our response. It's either no or slow. That's the way you bless. And the third one is you speak the truth in love. No, you don't say whatever you want to say and then tag it like this, bless your heart. You know, that's how we do it down south, isn't it? We can say the worst things about someone or to someone, and then if we just put at the end, bless your heart, it just sort of somehow nullifies all the things we just said. No! No. That's not speaking the truth in love. The truth in love will always be scriptural. It will always be delivered from a heart of humility, who desires not for revenge, but for restoration. Last one, and I'm just going to stop. We love by choosing. We love by our works. We love by our words. But notice what Jesus said. Pray. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Now, let me just ask you this question here. What does that mean? Well, now let me tell you what it doesn't mean. And you say, well, I'll pray for my enemies. Here's how I pray. Lord, zap them. And other endearing ways that we pray for them. Let me say this. When we pray for our enemy, here's how we pray. We say, God, change me. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. I have a day. Each day, I have a different group I pray for every day. I pray for my family, my extended family, which is sisters and nieces and nephews on Monday. That's my bigger sort of day. I pray for everybody. Pray for my children and grandchildren. My wife and I pray for them every night. That's just life. It's the way it's been 50 years plus. But I have different days that I pray for different people. I have one day, and that day I'm not going to tell you what day it is, that I pray for what I call wounded and wandering, lost and found. And on that list are people who have said or done things over the course of my life that have been hurtful, wounding. And I put them on a list. And the reason I did that, and I started that because I was praying one day, and I still was dealing with issues of bitterness. Have you ever had that problem? I'm the only one in here this building's had that problem. Well, you pray for me, okay? And the Lord said, louder than audible, Tommy, you're just as bad as they are. And so I began to pray, God, change me. Remove all the bitterness, any hurt. God, you would change my heart and help me to know how to pray for them. When we begin to pray for them, we must always pray first and foremost for us. Change my heart. And I would suggest, if there are issues in your life, that you have a day that you write there, you've written your name down. And I will just say this, I'll walk through this real quickly, but I'll just tell you this. I have written and I date the day things have happened. Being a pastor over the years, been a pastor 50 some odd years now, not everybody loves you. And there will be situations and circumstances in time that things just don't go as like you thought they should go. Okay, look at me, but you must agree. You know that's true. And all of us in this life, in this building, deal with issues. So I write their name down and I date it. And I said, God, I want you to, I desire that you work in my life and work in their life. Some of those have been days of prayer and fasting over. And over the years, on that sheet of paper, on that in my prayer book, there are many that have lines through them and the date that God reconciled the relationship. It's a wonderful way to see God is the God that answers prayer. There are still a few names on there that there's no line through yet. But you know what? We must continue to pray. God is not on our schedule to answer our prayers. God is always on God's schedule the way he does things. And let me put your mind at ease. It's pouring down rain out there right now, so there's no sense in trying to worry about getting outside, okay? So let me go back to that question I asked a little bit earlier. Do you love everybody? Now let me ask the next question. Are we commanded to love? Most people, right? We're commanded to love just our friends and neighbors and family. Is that correct? Help me here. No. So can we agree this morning that we need his help? Can we agree this morning that we need the grace of God in our life to change our heart? Amen. And that it would start this morning. But there may be some here who are not believers. It's possible to be at a great church like this, and still you've never experienced the work of grace in your life. I was a preacher's kid, 18 years old. Before I came to faith in Christ, I was in church. But being in church doesn't mean you're in Christ. But what about you this morning? Have you ever trusted Jesus? What does that mean? It means that you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is as much God as though we were not man. He's as much man as though we were not God. He died on a cross and took your sins and mine. He took our disgrace. He bore the wrath of God for us. He died. He was buried, but bless God, he arose on the third day. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, on this we do believe. Has there been a point in time where you've trusted Jesus? Now look at me. You should be able to say, yes, there should be a point where you have been converted. If not, why don't you respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit today? Trust Jesus. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Believers, that we would do business with God this morning, that we would obey Him, change our hearts, soften our hearts, and that things that the Holy Spirit has brought to mind, or people or situations that God has brought to mind, would you just maybe mention that name or that situation and say, Lord, change my heart. Take away a retaliation desire in my life. Help me to know how to love them as you have commanded me to love them. Or maybe you trusted Christ this morning. You believed in the gospel. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What an opportunity to publicly profess the Christ that you now possess. Father, we pray that our time will be a time of response to you, a time to settle things that you've stirred up, a time to restore, to reconcile, to obey. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The purpose.